Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
China is hosting Palestinian and Ukrainian delegations this week. Question is, can it play peace broker in global conflicts? We'll see what Joseph Lindsley has to say about that. Joe is in Kyiv today. Joe, what do you think? Anything positive going to come out of those talks?
Bob, good afternoon from Kyiv. I think it's unlikely. I mean, the tricky thing with China that Ukraine has had to navigate is, China, is very adept at trying to pretend they're on sort of a middle path here. All the while, clearly an ally of Russia, and refusing. I mean, in all the Chinese proposed peace plans here, they've refused to categorically condemn Russia's full-scale invasion. But yet, because of the power, the commercial power, the military power, and the diplomatic power of China, Ukraine has to sort of tread carefully here. And this has been a tricky issue for the Ukrainian government even before this full-scale invasion, because the Ukrainian people as a whole are very close to the beliefs of the people of Taiwan and also the beliefs of the people of Hong Kong. Before Hong Kong lost its freedom in 2020, when the United Kingdom transferred Hong Kong to China, Beijing and London agreed to protect the freedoms of Hong Kong up until like the year 2045 or so. And Beijing took those freedoms away. But when from about 2014 to 2020, when the people of Hong Kong saw that Beijing was eroding or trying to take away their freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, the Hong Kongers looked to Ukraine. They looked to Ukraine's revolution of dignity as an example of how to break away from tyrannical regimes. And it was very common for people to wave not just American flags and British flags, but also Ukrainian flags in the streets of Hong Kong. Of course, this doesn't happen anymore because all those protests are illegal. And so there's always been sort of, a tension between Ukrainian civil society, which stands very clearly with the people of Taiwan and the people of Hong Kong, and the government, which has to walk a fine line because of the power of China. And even as we look at, I saw in Taiwan, there's a Taiwanese TV series that is imagining what would happen if there was a Chinese blockade of the island of Taiwan. That's sort of, like a terrifying prospect, and showing the people what could happen if things escalate there. And I think, here in Ukraine, before Russia's full-scale invasion, there was no such television series, right? We have President Zelensky playing a comedian. President Zelensky as comedian playing Ukrainian president. And it was a time of great hope for Ukraine. And most people didn't imagine that they could be in the circumstances they're in now. But I think because of what Russia has done to Ukraine, the people in Taiwan see that this threat from China is really serious. And so these are tricky things to navigate. And even as you have these meetings in China, Russia and China are undergoing joint military exercises on the land and in the sky. And Russian and Chinese strategic bombers were in the far east of Russia, and they got quite close to Alaska. They did not enter U.S. airspace, but they entered what's called a sort of airspace identification zone. And Canadian and American fighter jets were escorting these Russian and Chinese bombers. And as I saw the name, the type of Russian bomber, it's the same exact bomber that has so terrorized Ukraine. I think it's Tu-95s. For example, whenever we have reports that these Russian bombers have taken off somewhere in eastern Russia, you know that Ukraine is going to be attacked within a few hours. And so it was pretty chilling to see how close those bombers got to the United States in the past 24 hours.
Have a text here for you to respond to. Good morning, Bob. Great reports with Joseph. Could you get him to talk a little bit more about how he thinks the outcome of our 2024 elections might change the war? You've commented on this before, Joe, how the campaign rhetoric on both sides doesn't always translate into policy, does it?
Yeah, and this is the question that so many are asking, of course, which makes sense. But I encourage everyone to to step back and look at, no matter who will occupy the White House, who will surround them? Who will be their policy advisors? What team will they choose? Because that's, I think, where people can have more influence. And I think that's an area that often gets ignored. Mm-hmm. But we see here, and I think people in Ukraine feel very deeply, you know, President Biden has spoken very strongly about Ukraine. One of the best speeches of his presidency was probably when he came here to Kyiv. But when it comes to the actual policy, so much of that is organized and driven by Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor, who has a clear philosophy. And so what really matters is that everyone pays attention to, you know, who does the presidential candidate choose, who surrounds the presidential candidate. And I think there's not enough attention paid to that. And I think there needs to be clear questions about, you know, is there a plan for victory? And even in President Biden's speech, I guess it was last night, it's hard with the time change, it's hard to tell. He's not talking about the wars that are, sort of rising up around the world. What's happening in Ukraine? It doesn't seem to be a major topic in many ways of the presidential campaign. But we see, I mean, it certainly affects, it's affecting everything around the world. If it's not seriously addressed during the campaign, I think that could be a problem for the U.S. And we still see the talk of as long as it takes for Ukraine. I think probably that does wear a lot of people out in America, too. You know what? They're like, oh, how long is this going to go on? And we still face this very simple problem that if the United States won't give permission for Ukrainians to hit Russian bases, then how is this going to end? And this is a topic in the UK this week, because there's the UK. Many people want the British to send their Storm Shadow missiles. Well, they already have. They've sent these great missiles to Ukraine, but they want the UK to get permission for Ukrainians to use those missiles to hit whatever Russian military targets they need. And the UK says they really can't do it without American permission. In case one of those missiles misfires and accidentally hits civilians deep within Russia, they still need the permission of Washington. And that permission is not forthcoming. And so I think that is the key question, as I would see it from the Ukrainian perspective, of any presidential candidate. Will you permit Ukrainians to hit Russian military bases? And I think if the answer is no, then it looks like that we're just going to face a situation where this is a war of attrition that drags on and on and on. And then the smaller guy is probably going to lose.
Right. Yeah, because Russia definitely has more of everything. We can end on a positive note. I saw that the recent attacks by Ukraine in the Black Sea have forced the Russian Navy to move out of there. They've pulled all their vessels out of the Sea of Azov. They haven't responded to this. The Russians haven't yet. But the Ukrainians have been very effective in the water, haven't they?
Yeah, and this is one area where the West does give. Washington has given Ukraine permission to use Western tools and weapons to hit Russian targets in the Crimean Peninsula. The argument being that Crimea is sovereign Ukrainian territory, even though the Russians have occupied it for a long time. And so there we see, when you give this permission, it works really well, and the results are fantastic. And Russians have also moved, they've lost a lot of radar stations within the Crimean Peninsula, and they've had to move most of their most important assets to the edge of that peninsula nearer Russia mainland. So this is a sign for Ukrainians that when they have permission and tools, they can get the job done.
Joseph Lindsley in Kyiv. Thanks, Joe. Hope we can talk about more good things tomorrow.
Until tomorrow. Thank you, Bob.